This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Yesterday, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration declared an unusual mortality event for several species of ice seals in Arctic waters. As KOTZ's Wesley Early reports, the agency has seen abnormally high die-offs in seals for the past 2 years.
Since June 2018, NOAA has documented 282 dead seals in the Bering and Chukchi Seas.
For the past 2 years, the number of stranded, ringed, bearded, and spotted seals is about five times more than is usual.
Julie Spiegel is a spokeswoman for NOAA. The three seals covered by the unusual mortality event, or UME, are bearded, ringed, and spotted seals. Spiegel says the Shishmaref and Kotzebue areas have reported the highest number of dead seals. As NOAA continues to investigate what's behind the rise in Arctic ice seal deaths, Spiegel says the UME declaration frees up funds and focuses research to investigate the die-offs.
A working group on unusual mortality events will be looking at the data that is collected, and there will just be a team set up to investigate this. So declaring an unusual mortality event definitely brings more focus and resources to the investigation.
Spiegel says scientists haven't yet identified a cause for the rise in seal deaths, but researchers and local residents have observed several changes to the seals and their habitat, such as lack of sea ice and an increase in illnesses.
We have made some observations that the past couple years have been warmer than usual, and so that's one of many factors we're looking into. We are also looking into the possibility that these animals may have been affected by harmful algal blooms, which also occur when the sea temperatures are warmer than usual.
Spiegel says the die-offs can give researchers clues as to the status of Arctic marine ecosystems.
They sort of give us an idea of what is going on in the ecosystem. So when marine mammals start dying off in unusual numbers, then that indicates that something's awry.
And she says that the unusual die-offs are particularly alarming for native communities in the area because the seals are a high source of protein for subsistence hunters.
Certainly these animals are important as food security for the people that live in the coastal communities in western Alaska as they hunt these seals to put food on the table for their families.
Both the ringed and bearded ice seals are listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. Spiegel says people who happen upon dead Arctic seals should contact NOAA's Alaska Marine Mammal Stranding Network at 877-925-7773. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
Think of the tools a doctor needs to assess your health or treat you for disease or injury. Broadband may not have been at the top of the list, but for rural Alaska, broadband internet service is vital for healthcare delivery. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin traveled to St. Mary's to learn about the sometimes tenuous links that allow healthcare to function far from the road system.
You can just make out the Andreski River right there.
Gail Alstrom points out the sights while bumping along a gravel road in an extended cab pickup.
So this is St. Mary's, and we have about 550 people here. The clinic is there on the hill.
I know. Alstrom is the operations manager at the St. Mary's Clinic, a sub-regional clinic of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. It has 30 employees and serves a population of 3,000, including surrounding villages, each of which has its own much smaller clinic. They all need a reliable broadband connection.
When things go down, which seems to be a lot, we have to revert back to what we call downtime procedures.
It used to be that downtime mostly disrupted telemedicine, like video appointments and remote consultations. But now even routine visits at rural clinics require broadband service to access the patient's electronic health records. Alstrom says she's reminded of it every time an internet outage throws them back in time to the 20th century.
When our sub-regional clinic opened, everything was paper. You saw the patients, you documented your encounter on paper, and then you faxed it, and then you waited, and then you called to make sure it was there, and then you refaxed it because it probably didn't make it.
Ahlstrom says internet service in St. Mary's is getting better.
I think the last real outage spanned about 3 or 4 days of no internet, no cell phones.
For a town that's not on a fiber optic line, St. Mary's is relatively fortunate. It's one of 84 communities on GCI's Terra network. That's a system that draws from fiber optic and, through a network of towers and mountaintop repeaters, beams broadband into villages on microwaves. Stuart Ferguson, Chief Technology Officer for the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, says GCI's system is a big advancement for clinics, particularly in Western Alaska where it's most prevalent.
Because of that, that lets us go into villages and do more video, do more telehealth, and actually put in electronic health records.
Ferguson says electronic records are becoming essential for patient care.
That's where we can look at their history, their allergies, their meds. It's where we prescribe for them. It's how we do medical orders. It's how we can make referrals to the next level of care. It's how we do consultations. We can't almost imagine doing healthcare without having these modern tools.
Yet a handful of clinics in Alaska's tribal health system still get their internet via old-fashioned satellite, and they haven't been able to move to electronic health records. Satellite internet is just too slow. But Ferguson believes the next big thing in Alaska broadband will be satellites, specifically low-Earth orbit satellites. They're smaller than the traditional kind, Ferguson says, and thousands of miles closer.
The promise is that these will start to appear over Alaska probably in the next 1 to 2 years. And that's a game changer because now you can have high speed, hopefully low cost bandwidths without this latency.
That, he says, could be the link that finally brings the smallest and most remote Alaska clinics up to speed. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Yesterday, the Trump administration took one of the last steps needed to allow oil companies to bid on land in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The agency says its preferred course is to offer almost the entire coastal plain to oil leasing. Elizabeth Harbaugh with Alaska's Energy Desk has the story.
The Interior Department has released its final environmental analysis for oil lease sales in the northernmost 1.6 million acres of the refuge, known as the Coastal Plain. And the document states the agency wants to give oil companies the chance to explore almost that entire area. Interior had also proposed alternatives with tighter restrictions, including one that would put hundreds of thousands of acres off limits to help protect caribou habitat. Still, during a call with reporters, Bureau of Land Management Alaska State Director Chad Padgett said he believes the agency's preferred choice would strike the right balance between oil development and protecting the environment.
I'm confident that we are on track to do what Congress has asked us to do in a safe and balanced way that advances the president's goals of job creation and energy independence with a minimal impact to the area.
But environmental groups immediately condemned the environmental review, calling it a sham. Susan Cullany with Audubon Alaska says she isn't surprised the Trump administration's preference is to maximize the amount of land available for oil exploration.
No matter how you cut it, oil drilling, you know, we don't think oil drilling belongs in the Arctic Refuge, but this is a particularly bad way to do it.
The prospect of oil drilling in the refuge has been a huge controversy for decades, and Interior's push to make it happen has been tumultuous. An effort to allow early-stage oil exploration in the refuge last winter stalled. Joe Balash, the Interior official spearheading the effort to hold a lease sale, recently left the Trump administration to take a job at an oil company. Still, the Interior Department hopes to hold a lease sale in the refuge before the end of the year. It's unclear how much oil company interest there will be in the area. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.
This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your comments and news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.